Welcome to the Life with Bethencourt podcast. We're a millennial couple who moved into an RV to travel full-time despite having zero experience.
Now we share the experience with you and all of our thoughts along the way. Buckle in for an entertaining ride.
Welcome back to another episode of Life with Bethencourt. I'm Beth.
I'm Court.
And today we are talking about what happens in Vegas. Doesn't stay in Vegas because we're talking about it today.
Yeah, that was actually really funny. I wasn't sure where that was going. So recently we stayed in Vegas as part of our RV travels. And fun fact, we actually had to go to Vegas because we did not book in enough time to stay in California.
Right. It wasn't a purposeful trip.
No. But we thought, okay, a lot of people like Vegas. Like, we will take this as a pivot and just go with it and have some adventures there. And so today we're talking about how we felt about Vegas.
So to set this up properly, we've spent most of the winter in Palm Springs. We shot over to Menifee, California for a little stint at Christmas time, but most of the time we've been in Palm Springs. So what we're comparing this trip to is being in Palm Springs, California. Las Vegas is 4 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And we
more like six in a camper.
Right. We stayed at a campground. So we don't like to really travel that far in one day, because why? Right. Like if you're just RVing and it's a weekend trip, of course, yes, you can travel longer days, but this is our lifestyle. So we don't typically like to travel any longer than 3 or 4 hours. So we stopped at a campground halfway and stayed a week there
in the middle of fucking nowhere.
And
I'm
it turns
sure
out
that's the city name. Middle there's, of nowhere.
There's not a whole lot.
No.
Between Palm Springs and Vegas.
Yuma. No, it was Yermo.
Yermo.
Yermo, yeah. California.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is California.
It still was. It was like the very edge of California before you crossed over into Nevada.
Yeah. So directly behind that campsite, there was desert. And it appeared that it was a popular place to bring side-by-sides, or what we in the Midwest call dune buggies.
I thought you were going to say garbage. Because no. There's a bunch of garbage.
Also that, apparently.
Like, people just brought the stuff they didn't want to take to the dump and dumped it in the middle of the desert.
But what's odd is, like, the amount of effort it would take to get those things out to where they were. Like, they were not. It wasn't like, oh, I had a bag of trash, I threw it out the window.
It was like a couch.
It was a couch. It was a subway sign. Like a legit, like, full building sign. There was a toilet. There was a smashed printer. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, office space style. Someone smashed a printer out there. Some of that shit was on fire. Like, it was all charred.
Yeah. Very weird.
Mattress. There's kids' toys. That was a little creepy. There's a piece of a wall out there of a house. Because I was like, oh, look, this is their wallpaper. So anyway, all that to say, that was not what I was originally going to say. I was going to say it's a popular destination to go into the desert and spin around in the dust and dirt. And
spin around in the dust and
dirt. We found that out when we first got there on, I think it was a Friday. No, it was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many loud engines. And we were like, where are we?
And it actually was like a pretty nice campsite, like when it comes to privacy and space.
Yeah, it was
like
fine.
It was very aesthetically pleasing and spacious at our site. But literally, like, I remember we were trying to look up where to go to dinner, to just like have dinner. And there was nothing, like nothing around. So,
well, let's not say nothing. There was Peggy Sue's and Sue Peggy's.
Was that really what they were called?
No, they're like, one was like, oh, one was
Peggy's
Penny's
Diner.
Oh, Peggy's Diner. Yeah.
Penny and Peggy.
Whatever.
But
they were very close.
500 feet from each other.
And also the only things in town. And at one point, we were like, oh, man, Peggy Sue's Diner must actually be hopping because it is filled with cars. But it turns out there's a classic car show in the parking lot.
Yeah. So middle of nowhere. And it was, I wish we wouldn't have stayed there as long as we did, but we typically don't travel during the work week because Beth has Zoom calls with clients, and you never know when the internet's just going to say, I'm done. when you're like driving through the mountains and stuff,
especially when you don't know the route. Like we've never driven this before. So it's not like, oh, you know, I know this route well and it's got plenty of signal and all of that.
And we did lose service coming to Yermo. And then when we were coming back to Palm Springs, I think we lost service for like 40 minutes. Like we couldn't get any sort of signal. So
it was
anyway,
a really boring drive.
Yeah. Super boring drive. And so that was our way out to Nevada. We stayed there for a week, which felt long. And then we moved to our next campsite that was in Las Vegas.
And some may liken it to Rikers Prison.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding, but not all the way. There was
that was a good reference. We'll just, in case you don't know, we're watching Inventing Anna, and that's where that came from.
So when we pulled into this campground, just to give you the full visual of what we were pulling into, I would say half the campground was under construction.
Yeah, it was small campground to begin with, like a smaller one, and I would say that's accurate. Half was under construction.
And not like active construction, but like someone had put up construction tape and like had
torn
demoed
shit out. Yeah, and like, then like never followed
and
through.
Then like and yeah. then like everyone got bored or something and just like never came back. So anyway, we pulled in and the campground was halfway under construction. The perimeter of the campground had anywhere between 6 and 10 feet of a cinder block wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there were some areas where it stacked higher, some areas where it was lower, and on top of the cinder block were five rows
I counted them.
Of barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which had trash blowing in the wind from mm-hmm. the barbed wire prongs. That was our first visual pulling into this campground, was halfway under construction, which we get it. I mean, we've been to plenty of campgrounds that were under construction. They're adding new sites, upgrading, et cetera. It's a necessary part. Just depends on when you end up there. So we pull in a very under construction barbed wire, which to some people, they're like, well, barbed wire makes me feel safe because then people can't get in.
True.
But then also to some people, it says, hey, why do you need 5 rows of it? So anyway, we're pulling in. We have a site assignment and we get to said site and it is very tight.
Which we're used to. We had experienced that before. And I will also add that it basically was a parking lot. Like it's a parking lot and then the spots are gravel. And yeah. Everyone's crammed in.
It was very tight. And I will say that what made it worse is that there wasn't necessarily always a spot for people to park their trucks in their same spot. So the vehicles are jutting out into the road on what is already a narrow path for an RV.
Super so narrow.
We're pulling in and our neighbor, which we'll get to, he has a pretty short Class A
mm-hmm.
motorhome. Which Class A, for those of you listening who don't know, Class A are the massive ones that look like tour buses, but you can have them in varying lengths still. So his was pretty short and he had a little sporty Mercedes car parked on the other side of his rig. But here's the thing. He parked backwards. So his rig was on the left. His car was on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it very confusing. Because when we were looking at where we were going to park our rig, I was like, we're literally going to be right outside his door.
So what you're saying is there should have been a car in between our rigs instead of our rig side by side.
Right. Yeah. And so already felt bad about that. But then the way you're supposed to be able to park a rig, you have to swing in pretty close to the curb so that you can put your trailer in the right position to back up or whatever. Well, his car was probably like 2 feet out into the road. And if I would have pulled the truck the way that I needed to, I would have clipped his car. So then
everyone was in the road.
Everyone was in the road. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, I don't know what to do. The guy across the street comes out and was like, hey, do you want me to move my truck so you can get in? I said, that would be wonderful. Do you know whose car this is? He says, no. Anyway, we get backed into the site and we are literally like, we put our slide out. And normally when we're looking at the slide coming out, we are looking to make sure that we don't like hit the utility box or anything like that. But in this case, we were making sure we didn't hit his rig with our slide.
Yeah. And our new neighbor friend, I think he had to be like 90 years old. I'm going to say 90 is probably like generously young. I think he might have been closer to 100. And he was super sweet.
He's very nice.
He couldn't hear. Like, he told us, I can't hear very well. And so we were trying to talk to him, and we knew that. And he was very kind and, you know, whatever. And then I think it was later that night that the music started.
Oh, yes.
And it was like very, very loud. I mean, I get it. The dude can't hear. And so he wants to hear his music. And like, I guess headphones don't work. So he has his door open. And it's a pretty consistent rotation of Elvis and Jesus music and sometimes Elvis-y Jesus music.
Yeah.
And that happened pretty consistently until we get to another part of the story about having to move our rig. And it was really fucking hard to focus during the day. Like, I have ADHD, and over my own headphones of my own music, I could hear this blaring. And then, like, I think he watched MASH, and it was to the point I literally had his whole schedule memorized. Like, I knew at 2 o'clock we watched MASH, and before that was a nap, and then like before that we would go to town for something, and then the music. Like, I had it locked in.
There were also Westerns in there. At some points, and there,
oh, yeah.
And there was one particular show or movie that he was watching that it was Christmas time, because you remember the characters started singing Christmas carols to each other.
Yeah.
And we were both working, and we just, took a moment and we looked up and we looked at each other, and we were like, literally, where are we?
We did like document. We never showed him specifically, but in our behind the scenes membership, I was like, this is the sound of the day at the campground. And it was normally Jesus and Elvis, but sometimes there was construction that was so loud you like couldn't think. So anyway, he was to the right of us. To the left of us was a gentleman from Ohio, older male, and he was the
an old white guy is what you're saying. He's an old white guy.
And that was our first experience being shamed for being a same-sex couple directly to our face.
Passive aggressive way.
So that was not fun. Like, we were already crammed in between two people, and he was just being really passive aggressive and really shitty when I told him that I had a wife, not a husband. And long story short, I knew someday this would happen. Like, I knew at some point someone would say it to our face, and I always like tried to think of what I would say in that situation and how I would handle it. But when it happened, I was so caught off guard because it was passive aggressive that I don't think I knew it was happening until it was over. And then I was like really angry. And then I was like, this is what I should have said. And then honestly, I didn't want to leave the camper. I was like, I don't want to hang out with Jesus and Elvis. I have been shamed for being a same-sex couple. Like, I'm living in a shithole. And my mental health that week was not good.
Well, and like, so not only have we met the characters on either side, but also, like, just to again paint the full picture here, our truck was so close to our camper that you had to get up on our steps to our camper to open the back driver's side door.
And we had to park that close to our rig because the way I had backed in the truck, the passive aggressive man wouldn't have even been able to get into his rig. Like, he couldn't have opened
his
door.
Well, and that's why the conversation started. Yeah, is you were being nice.
I was being nice.
And you said, hey, is this too close? Because we don't have anywhere else to park, but like, I also want you to be able to get in your rig.
And he also, so that he made a comment after that and said, you must not be from California. You're way too nice and polite. And I was like, what? Like, people in California are nicer than you. Like, what are you talking about? So anyway, that's the scene for 2 weeks of our life.
Yeah. So I guess that's one thing about this lifestyle that, like, you know, we always try to be super honest about what the experience is like. And the thing is I think everyone, not everyone, I shouldn't say that. I think a lot of people think that our life is just like being on vacation
glamorous
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, yes, you see palm trees and blue skies and mountains in the background of our photos. But also remember that, like, we have experiences that aren't always top notch.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. And we try as best we can, obviously, to not end up in these situations. But we also are traveling. To this point, we've never gone back except for like the places we've stayed for like the winter. So Florida and California, we've returned to the same camp sites we've been to before. But other than that, we're constantly going to new campgrounds.
Yeah. So there's no way to know. You follow the reviews, like you do the best you can, but that's subjective. Everyone has a different interpretation of what's good, what's not. So that was the scene. And like right away, so when we get into a campground that feels that way sometimes, we're like, okay, how can we make this better? Like, we can't change that we're here. We already have the reservation. How can we make it better? And so one of the things we did was we joined a gym. I said to Beth, like, I would like to exercise. You cannot exercise here. Like, it's crowded. And like, we start having a bigger conversation about how it's challenging to work out on the road, which I think we're going to put a blog post out about that. And I said, what if we just join a gym? It's like $24 a month for both of us. And honestly, so it was in a town that was like 10 or 15 minutes over. That became our outlet. Like, we would work during the day, stay in the camper, and then we would go work out in the evening. So the first few days, like, we had a rocky start, and then we found this balance. And then I think it was about 3 or 4 days in, talking to the locals at the gym, talking to local Lyft drivers that were like taking us places, that's when we really found out how, and to quote their words, unsafe and dangerous where we were staying was. Not just the campground specifically, but the stretch that we were staying on, which was Boulder Highway.
Boulder Highway.
Which I have a very funny meme that someone sent me of Dora the Explorer smoking a joint and said, Dora done fucked up on Boulder Highway.
No, Dora done fucked up and explored Boulder Highway.
And she was like high off her ass. And so, I mean, not super politically.
Well, so essentially what we found out is the stretch of the road that we were on is particularly known to be a rough area of town
for drugs specifically.
Yeah. And it's weird because, you know, there were several times in particular that we were like, this is crazy. Like, we should just leave this campground. We don't have to stay. Like, we can move our home. So let's just look somewhere else. But literally 90% of campgrounds in the Vegas area
are on that stretch that aren't like $100
right there. And even then, there was literally probably only like 4 campgrounds that we found, you know, that was would have had availability and fit our rig and all of that stuff. So
we did look, though. We hit a breaking point where we were in bed. And I mean, like, okay, so everyone's definition of what makes them feel safe is different, like their tolerance of safety. So to give you an idea, like, at nighttime, there were constantly sirens going off. There were police, there were planes, there were choppers. Like, our friends told us there was legit, like, a police chopper the first night there. And so it made it so hard to like sleep, and sleep is so important. And so then like our mental health is not good because we're in this place. And so like it's all building.
You have to sort through what is dramatic and what is actual, because we've been in certain areas where, you know, people are like, oh, don't go to that side of town, and it's like, it's not that bad though. Like, is it run down? Sure, but like, it's not like I don't feel unsafe there. But like, the police sirens, just the sirens in general. I mean, in Lutz, Florida, we were backed up to a highway where there was lots of sirens, but I felt fine there. Yeah. But the sirens here in particular, there were police at the motel behind the cement wall with the
like
barbed wire.
Nightly, they were at that hotel.
There were you know. You could see the sirens over the wall or the lights flashing. And so, yes, we were trying to sort out in the reviews, like, to give you an idea, it was a 3.5 out of 5. And so when we say that we look at reviews, you know, the campgrounds we stay at aren't always 5-star, because 5-star ones are usually pretty pricey. And so we usually, if it's 3.5 to 5 stars, we're like, that's fine. Because half the time people are just mad about like, oh, the person checking us in was having a bad day. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't make the campground bad. It makes the staff angry. So,
and I think that's something else to consider, because we are RVers that are budget focused with like how we spend our money on campgrounds. Like, we're on a budget. And so sometimes you get in these situations where I will say, like, we have done this before. If we ever truly feel unsafe, we would just leave. It happened before at another campground. It's only happened once before. So like, safety first always, and listen to your intuition. And we kind of had to sort through this and say, okay, financially, we cannot afford to stay anywhere else. So our options are...
We could afford to, but the places we could afford to stay were all down this same highway.
Oh, yes. But the ones that were not on the highway.
Yeah, the ones that were like 5-star and far away from Boulder
and
Highway,
so
we're
like, okay,
expensive.
Does it make sense to drive all the way back to California? Like, it's a work week. So like, ultimately.
Literally considered it, though.
Ultimately, this is what we came up with. We have heard things. We have not seen anything that has made us actually feel unsafe. We have not experienced anything. And then that is a bit of a mind fuck, because you're like, well, is tomorrow going to be the day we experience something? And so we said, okay, what's your vibe check? Like, do we need to leave? Do we need to pack up and leave? Do you feel that unsafe? And we both said, no, it's sketchy, but like, we don't feel like we are immediately in danger. And so we decided we were going to tough it out. Unless something happened, like unless there was a breaking point,
unless someone stole our truck, then we would leave.
Oh yeah, that was a whole another story. Like, you couldn't leave your doors open because people would jump in. So like, you have to have these conversations because you're on a budget and you have, you know, we're working full time. Like, so you have to talk it through. And ultimately, we said we will try to stay here, and as long as nothing significant happens.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is that we're in our rig most of the day because we're working. And so, you know, some of these stories like, well, yeah, when we left, our bikes got stolen or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but we're also here.
That's true.
For the majority of the time. And
we
then
keep the truck locked.
We keep the truck locked. And, you know, we kept the door locked when we were inside at that particular campground. But like, we've got the windows open so we can hear things. We have a camera. Mm-hmm. We have a security system. Yeah. So like, it's not like we are totally unprotected there. So that was one aspect to consider. And then when we had gotten the gym membership, that was our, as soon as work was done, We wanted to forget that we lived on Boulder Highway for those 2 weeks.
And Henderson, the town that we're referencing that was like 15 minutes away, was super nice. Like,
yeah, it was fine. It's just a suburb of Vegas.
Yeah. And so ultimately, like, that was like the stage for 2 weeks. And then we had budgeted the money that we saved on the campground to go do experiences, right? So, you know, we're like, okay, Beth's already been to Vegas. She's seen stuff. I haven't. So, like, we tough it out. What do we want to do? So we're trying to like prioritize all of these things. And honestly, we had some really cool experiences in Vegas.
Yeah.
But also, like, even if you take the vibe out of it, of the campground, like for me personally, I didn't enjoy it. And I know there's some audible gasps happening right now because a lot of you, not a lot, a few of you have said like you love Vegas. It's one of your favorite cities. Like, multiple people have said that. It just wasn't my scene. Like, I don't know. I would rather be out hiking. And we did go for a hike. We did Valley of Fire, and it was incredible. And so just like, we did go down to the strip. We did have some cool experiences. Like, I love the hockey game. Omega Mart was really cool. But ultimately, I was like, I wouldn't have stayed for this. Like, well, if there was another option, I guess.
And I think that like, part of it too, is that like, for the parts you enjoyed, it didn't need to be Vegas.
Totally. You can go to a hockey game anywhere.
Yeah, because like, we're not into gambling. You don't drink. You're sober. Mm-hmm. We're not into strippers and cocaine. So like, it's just...
Not yet.
Not, so it's just not something where it's like, oh, you have to be in Vegas to experience this.
And I will say, because I feel like you just kind of dabbled into stereotypical territory.
That's true.
That's not... We saw no strippers, no cocaine. But I will, on the other side, say, like Cirque du Soleil. How do you say
Cirque
it?
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil. Like, a lot of people love that show. And like, the Bellagio is this beautiful hotel, and it has amazing flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's like a botanical garden. So there are some things that are just specific to Vegas.
Yeah, totally.
And that's fine. And who knows? Maybe if we had gone to shows, I would I would have liked it. And we talked about that. Like, do we want to go to a magic show? Do we want to go to Magic Mike? Like,
yeah, we looked at all the options.
It just didn't seem interesting.
And
to
we
me.
Chose the options that, I mean, you had all the options in front of you. There was the Body Worlds exhibit. There was Magic Mike. There was magic shows. There was Cirque du Soleil. There was Blue Man Group. There was the hockey game. Like, we laid out all the options. Literally, guys, it's in a project management system. Like, it's all laid out with prices and days and dates and all of that. You chose the ones that you wanted to go to. Like we said, I've been to half of those things. I went to Cirque du Soleil, Blue Man Group, Body mm-hmm. Worlds when I lived out in Boston. So I, most of this trip was like, what do you want to do? And we did the things that you wanted to do. And it's kind of like, yeah, we went to the Bellagio. It was awesome. Loved seeing the botanical gardens and the fountains. Mm-hmm. Cool. Now it's done though.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, that's what, when people were asking me how I felt, I said, to me, it felt like it was a one and done. Like, I can say I've been there. And we did balance it out with free activities versus paid activities. And a lot of people are like, you need to go check out Fremont Street. You need to go to the Strip.
And
we
did. And there were some cool things
and
there.
And there were some cool things there, but it just wasn't like, I am so connected to this experience. I feel like I need to come back here. You know, and again, like, someone else might freaking love it. And I just was like, okay, we walked down on the Strip. We saw the fountains. It was super cool. But that's the way you described it, is like, okay, but now what? And it was kind of crowded. Like, it was a city. So people were down there.
Well, and we worked during the week. So we were there on the weekends, just like many tourists were.
But I guess, honestly, even if it wasn't crowded, I still wouldn't have been that into it. So I can say, we did it. I saw it. And for me, it's just like, I have no intention of going back.
I will say, when you saw the Strip lit up at night for the very first time,
that was cool.
That experience probably connected with you more than anything. But I will say, we were in our own truck that time. Someone wasn't driving us. We were totally in control of how long we were there and where we were going. And it was all lit up. And it was your first time experience, because you came from a small town, and and a lot of what you'd heard growing up is that Vegas is super dangerous, super dirty, super gross. And I said to you, I don't think you're going to feel unsafe on the Strip. I think you're just going to see weird things that you're not used to seeing. So then when we went down there the first time, you were like, you just kept repeating, this is totally fine.
Yeah, it wasn't like, at no point on the Strip, either driving through at night or like walking it during the day, did I feel unsafe. I was like, oh, it's like, everyone's out. People are wearing masks. Like, there's kids out at like 8 p.m. Like, so I will say, that was something I'm grateful for from this experience, is that it did teach me, coming from a small town, not everything you hear is true. And until you experience it for yourself and have that discernment of what feels comfortable, what doesn't, you really don't know.
Yeah. And like, even the guy who worked at the campground when we were waiting for a Lyft driver, which, okay, to be clear, we have a truck. Yes. We didn't want to deal with finding parking and going down to the Strip or Fremont Street or whatever, because parking for a day is $35 and getting an Uber or a Lyft there and back was $40. So it's like, I'd just rather have someone who knows the area drive us there, drop us off, pick us up when we want, not have to deal with all of that. So anyway, when we reference Lyft drivers picking us up, that's why. So we were waiting for this Lyft driver, and the guy who worked at the campground, you know, we told him, like, we're waiting for a Lyft driver and we're going down to the Strip, da da da. And even he did the thing where he's like, well, be really careful down there. Like, you don't want to leave all, don't step off the Strip and don't go down there at night. And it's like, the things that he was saying, it was the same fear tactics of, it's super unsafe down there. Make sure you stick exactly to the street. And it's like, I get it to a certain degree, but like, I think we're so vigilant already that it feels excessive to be like, be careful down there. It's super dangerous.
Well, and I'm sure from his perspective, he's like, I know you're not from around here. And like, you probably don't know the area. And even like, the people who made comments about us being in the area we were, they referenced, because we were like young women. There was just all of this fear being implanted. And I see both sides of it. He was trying to like give us a heads up. But for those of us who don't know how we travel, like, we are not looking down at our phones. We're not looking lost. Like, we basically look like we know what we're doing and where we're going. And we will literally be communicating as we're walking, left or right, left, cool. And we don't pause. Like, we just keep going. So like, I don't, I don't know. I feel like there has to be a balance between, because if you never go to places where people say it's so dangerous, it's so scary, but also you need that awareness so you can like assess how you're going to tackle the situation.
Yeah. And this guy was basically saying like, don't go down the dark alleys at night on the strip.
And we're like, we wouldn't do that. It's like, anyway.
We wouldn't go
like,
down.
Who does that?
No one should be walking down dark alleys. So some of it is like, I understand that it's like appropriate fear, but at the same time, it's like if you have a blanket statement of safety, right? Like you just mentioned, don't both look down at your phones at the same time. If one of you does have to look down, mm-hmm. have the other one looking up, head on a swivel, mm-hmm. make decisive moves. Don't make it look like you're lost. Don't make it look like you're looking at a map.
And I said to you that when we were walking, I could totally tell who the tourists were based on how they were doing all of those things. And I was like, you're making yourself an easy target. Like you can
their
tell.
Movements were, their movements were super unsure.
Yeah.
They were looking at their phone. They would stop at intersections and like look both ways, like trying to figure out which street, all of these things. And it's like, so we already have this like base layer of don't look like you don't belong here. So in that way, you know, some of the warnings about safety that we got felt a little like, I don't know, they felt a little bit over the top, because especially because we had been down to the show. Like I said, I've been in Vegas two other times. The guy who was like, oh my gosh, don't go down there at night. It's like, well, half the fun is when it's when you're down there at night.
And I think we also talked about like when people warn you about bad things or bad situations, we had the conversation of the telephone game. Like, well, did you actually experience that? Or did someone close to you experience that? Or did you hear from a friend of a friend of a friend? Did it happen 10 years ago? So you just really have to take it in. And I will always advocate that the most important compass is your intuition. Mm-hmm. If something feels weird, like just don't fucking do it, you know, get out of there. And so I mean, overall, for me I didn't love it, and I tried to think of it from the perspective, like, would I have felt different if we were like in a hotel or in a nice campground? It still wouldn't have been my thing, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, if you're looking for one thing to do when you're in Vegas, something free to do, something fun that you can kind of take in the whole experience at once, I would say drive through the strip at night.
Totally.
I think that experience is better versus walking down there when it's lit up at night, because you get to see everything in like a 10-minute drive, and it's super cool.
Because one thing people may not always realize is the strip is 4.5 miles long.
It's super long.
So it's not just like, oh, let's walk the strip real quick. If you want to see all of it, you'll need to drive it. And there's so many things that are cool to look at, but like I don't need to get out to see them. You know what I mean? Like the lights are really cool. We ended up accidentally going by Treasure Island's fire show or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's like pyrotechnics going off to our left, and you get to see like the welcome to Vegas sign and stuff. So I would drive down the strip at night, and there are plenty of lights to see. There are a lot of shows and live entertainment that happen at like on the hour, every hour, starting at like 6 p.m.
Yeah, there's like concerts down on Fremont Street, in the overhead thing. And then there's also
Viva Vision is like a light show they do.
So really, like, I will say, to the point of the people who enjoy Vegas, like, there is something for everyone, like, depending on what you like. And if you do like casinos and gambling, like, those are everywhere. And we cut through some of the casinos, and they have some really cool displays and some really cool shopping malls. And if you do like to drink, it's an open, what do they call
open
it?
Open carry.
That's so wrong.
I don't know what the actual law is called, but you can
drink
on,
take your drink outside. So a lot of people have these super crazy, fun, tall, like size of their body drinks.
And like legit, just, like 3.5 foot bottles of slushies.
And so, I mean, I hope this doesn't deter you. This episode was not meant to say how terrible Vegas is. I think a lot of people would enjoy it there, and a lot of people do enjoy it there.
Totally.
And there's something for everyone. But this was our recap of like, is this going to go on our visit list again? No.
Well, and I think that it's important too, this is the last thing I'll say on it, I think it's important that you take into consideration like who you're taking recommendations from, because we follow lots and lots of accounts on social media, other RV accounts or travel accounts. We looked up lots of YouTube videos when we were in Vegas to see like what's the coolest things that we have to do before we leave, etc. People's recommendations are based on what they like, right?
Exactly.
Like, you and I would much prefer to recommend Bisbee, Arizona.
Totally.
Than we would Vegas, Nevada. But That's not to say that Vegas isn't cool.
Yeah.
It's just that we like the vibe of Bisbee more than we like the vibe of Vegas, and that's totally fine. So that's just something to consider, that there's tons of fun things, fun, free, and paid things to do in Vegas. And is it, like you said, is it going back on our visit again list? Probably not, but I would be willing to hike Red Rock Canyon and Valley of Fire again.
Yeah, I will also add that it's okay to not like Vegas, because after we went there, I actually, on the opposite side, had a lot of people say, we don't like it, we're never going back, but I didn't want to skew your experience of it, yeah. So we didn't say anything. So there's a lot of people that don't like Vegas too, so either way is fine.
Well, and Vegas is just like a notorious version of a city that everyone talks about, but I think this happens with every place you go, right? Like, there are some people who are like, some people, Jacob, who are like, Palm Springs is literally hell on earth.
We love Palm Springs.
And so it just depends on what your perspective is and what you look for in a visit.
What we look for in a visit is not Vegas.
is safety. So anyway, that's all for this time. Thanks for joining us. And we would love it if you would come join us over on social, on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube. And if you're looking for RV-specific tips and tricks, head over to lifewithbethancourt.com, where we have lots of blog articles. We also have a two-week email sequence that will take you through what we think are the essentials as you consider or get started in this lifestyle. So until next time, friends, keep building your best life.
Bye, guys.